Hello, Planet Shakers. Thank you for joining us today. I'm excited to be sharing about the thought, God builds sacrificially. You know, Pastor Russell's been sharing and encouraging with us about God and the way He builds our house. God builds revelationally, God builds relationally, God builds generationally. And today, it's our Mother's Day weekend. Who in our life really emulates sacrificing more than our mothers do? Our mothers are brilliant. They give us so much. And so today, this Mother's Day, I'm happy to be sharing with you, God builds sacrificially. We are here, very literally, we are here because our mothers gave. They gave birth to us. Praise God for that. We are here because our mothers gave. They gave, let's be honest, they gave of themselves for 9 months while we grew. They gave of themselves when they gave birth to us. And then really after they gave birth, they continued to give to us over and over again. Our mothers sacrificed and gave endlessly to see us become who we are. And so really mothers are such a brilliant picture of sacrificing and giving. And so on this Mother's Day, I want to share around that thought, God builds sacrificially. Mothers are such a brilliant picture of this, and God has a lot to say about giving and sacrificing in His Word. It says in Proverbs 11, I love this, it says, the world of the generous, it's up there on the screen if you want to read it, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. Thank you, Pastor Brett. I love this thought. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. However, the world of the stingy, it gets smaller and smaller. And then it goes on and says, the one who blesses others is abundantly blessed, but those who help others are helped. See, this thought really defies logic. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. What God is encouraging us with is that when we give, our world actually gets bigger. Now that defies logic. Here I am, a complete person with a complete outfit on and a phone. But let's just say I was to give this phone away to my wife. She's got one, but happy Mother's Day to be. Now you can have two phones. And where it signifies two, mate? No, it doesn't. That's a terrible idea. Double portion, shivers. And I'm going to move on from that. So where I was a complete person with a whole outfit and now a phone, now I'm lacking a phone. So logic would say, mathematics would say that if I give something away, I have less. But God's word says that when I am generous, when I give away, I actually have more. Put it this way. Again, mothers are a great picture of this. If you're married, if a woman was to be married to a man, she might say to her husband, if she feels this way, hopefully she does, I love you with my whole heart. It's a good thing for wives to say, if it's true. It's good to be true. So they might say, I love you with my whole heart. That is completely true. Now, let's just say they get pregnant, they give birth to a child. The woman doesn't have to take half of her love back to give some to the child, no. All of a sudden, because she has given birth, her world is larger. She can still love her husband with her whole heart, and now she can love her child with her whole heart as well. Her world is larger. You see, the world of the generous, when we give, when we sacrifice, when we are generous, our world actually gets larger. It's not about mathematics, it's about generosity. That God would say, if you would give away, all of a sudden your capacity is increased. Your capacity to love, your capacity to receive, your capacity to be generous is larger when you go ahead and give. So come on, somebody, let's just go ahead and give God some praise for a moment. Let's increase the capacity of this meeting. Let's increase the capacity of this moment. Yes, to receive, but it comes first by giving. God, we give you praise. The world of the generous, I love that thought. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. As we give, as we live generously, our world gets larger. There is great power in giving and in sacrifice. See, so Pastor Russell, let me remind you, he's been sharing about how God builds. God builds revelationally. And this revelation that we were all lost, but now we're found, is what unites us, this revelation of who Jesus is. And then next he shared with us how God builds relationally. See, it's relationships that build God's house, brought together from the revelation. I love this thought. He made a statement that our first birth brings us into a family in the natural. Our second birth, when we're born again, it brings us into another family, the family of God, a spiritual family. See, God builds through relationships. And then he shared last week, we heard that God builds generationally. Do you know that God has a long-term plan? That's good. Three people know that. Hey, do you know that God has a long-term plan? That it would take generations to see all the things that God has in store for us. He doesn't just run out of ideas after one generation. No, God has more. God wants to take us from glory to glory. He wants to build and multiply and grow throughout generations. And see, understand, part of what we're called to do is to break ground, to take ground, to go further than those that have gone before us, but also we go as far as we can with the knowledge that those who come after us, we want them to go further than we went. That's where God builds generationally. I shared this story last night about Pastor Neil. Pastor Leone, Pastor Neil's wife, she was sharing around our giving before. But I've heard Pastor Neil share this story many times. And he shares this story about how a few years ago, I don't know exactly how many years ago, so I won't hazard a guess, but a few years ago, God spoke to him early in the year. It might have been maybe 8, 10 years ago. God spoke to him early in the year and said, this year, you're going to see 1,000 people respond to an altar call. Now, at that point in his ministry, he'd never seen 1,000 people at one time respond to a salvation altar call. Now, Pastor Neil is a phenomenal leader, a great preacher. He has led churches and movements and done incredible things around the world. But in that point in his life, he'd never seen over 1,000 people respond. And so as the year went, I'm not sure if it was the forefront of his mind the entire year, but as the year went through, we found ourselves in Singapore and we were on tour with the band and Pastor Neil was there. And the band was getting up to play and Pastor Neil wasn't doing anything in that service, but he happened to get a phone call from someone who knew he was in Singapore and said, would you be able to come and preach at our event? Our preacher's fallen sick. He said, sure, when's it on? And they said, right now. I said, cool, no worries. So he got in the car and he drove down to that venue. It was not far away. Singapore's geographically quite a small place. And so he was able to get there rapidly. And he walks in the back door and someone met him there. And they're walking down this auditorium. There's about 7,000-8,000 people there. And he says to the person walking to him, he says, when am I on stage? And the person said, by the time we get to the front, they will have introduced you and you'll go straight up on stage. He's like, cool, not a problem. He didn't have a prepared sermon or something he'd practice. He's just like, okay, no worries. There's a power in being prepared and having a word in season, all that's come on, in season and out. And so he gets to stage. But when he's getting close to the stage, he feels God speak to him and said, hey, do you remember that word? Today's the day. You're going to see over 1,000 people respond to the gospel. He said, all right, not a problem. Gets up on stage, preaches. Who knows what he preached? I certainly wasn't there, but he preached something. And when it came time for the altar call to be given, over 1,000 people responded to the love and the message of Jesus that day in that room. Come on, somebody. I remember hearing him share that story and praise God. But I remember as I heard him share that story, I was both humbled and excited because I realized something. I won't tell you exactly what age I think that happened for, how old he was, but it's a bit older than I am now. Around about the age of, I don't know, let's call it 40. He's only 41 now, so very fresh looking 41-year-old. But he was around about that age when it happened. And the reason I got humbled and excited when I sat there and heard him share that story is because I was about 25 when I was on tour with the band and I had an opportunity to get up and do an altar call and saw over 1,000 people respond to an altar call when I was in my mid-20s. I remember a few years after that, I saw over 5,000 people respond to the love and the message of Jesus when I had an opportunity again on tour to stand up and lead people into an encounter with God. And I remember thinking to myself, it took him until he was that age to see over 1,000 people respond. I was able to see that happen when I was 25. I thought to myself, imagine when I'm 40. Maybe I'll be able to see 30,000 or 50,000 respond. But hang on, this is where I got really excited. I thought to myself, imagine some of our planet boomers right now, when they're 25. I was able to see 1,000 people respond when I was. Imagine what they when they're 25. Maybe they'll be able to see 100,000 people respond. Maybe when they're 40, they'll be able to see 1 million people respond. See, God wants to build things generationally. God wants to do more in this generation than he did in the last. Now, don't hear me wrong. It's not that Pastor Neil, now that he's seen 1,000 people respond, he hangs up in his hat and retires. No. He presses in. Every day that he's alive, God's got more for him to do. So what is he doing now? He's there, come on somebody, discipling nations, doing so many incredible things for God. And so now here I am. I have this opportunity to see these things when I'm young. Here I am as a 34-year-old. I'm saying, God, I want to press in and see everything you've got for me in my generation so that those who are coming after us can see more and more and more beyond anything we could have ever dreamed at in my generation. This is how God builds generationally. That everything we get to be a part of, we are building and standing on the shoulders of those that went before us. Not simply to stand up here and say, wow, the view's good. Thank God for their sacrifice. I'm just gonna sit back in this and say, oh, awesome. No. It's for us to take this and to run with it and say, God, how far possibly could you take us so that when the moment comes for me to hand this particular baton on, they can go further than I could have ever dreamed of going. God builds generationally. But here's the thing about generations. Generations won't exist without giving. Again, I know this is very literal and very practical, but very literally, if my mother never gave birth to me, there would never be my generation, me. But not only that, very practically, if my mother and father never decided to give and to sacrifice to progress in life, if they'd just given birth to us and then just kind of chilled, we're just going to live our life. We're just going to sit back. We're going to relax. Oh, we don't have any money left. That's cool. Not a problem. We'll just make do. No, my mother and father, they pushed in. They did the best they could so that here I am. I now get to live in what I get to live in because of the life that they lived and the way that they raised me. Oh, okay, let's put it this way. Let's think very spiritually. We would not be here if it wasn't for the giving and the sacrifice of Pastor Russell and Sam. Because they gave, because they obeyed, because they sacrificed, because they prayed, because they stepped out in faith, because they were willing to sacrifice the comforts that they had and pick up their entire family, move them here to Melbourne to sow into this city and to build a church. Because they did that, now we're sitting here today. But if they never did that, very literally, we would not have a building to sit in. We would not have a church to be a part of. See, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the generation before us that gave and sacrificed. In the Bible's a good thing to talk about. Here we are in church, probably should talk about the Bible. There's a man of God in the Bible, his name is Joshua. And the story of Joshua was a leader of the nation of Israel. Joshua came after Moses. Moses, you would know, Moses was the one, went down to Egypt, said, let my people go. And there's a great movie about it. And you know, saw the Israelites freed from slavery and into the wilderness. But Joshua was the one that picked up the mantle and led them into the promised land. You think about Joshua, think about his life. Joshua was there when the people were freed from Egypt. Joshua was there in the wilderness when the people gave to build the house of God. And the leaders actually had to stand up in front of the country and say, stop giving. We've got too much money. We don't need any more money to build the church. I mean, come on, what a day that would be to live in. Let's pray that happens again. And so he was there when that miracle happened. He was there when he led them into the promised land. He was the leader when he got all of the men to be circumcised. What a sacrifice that would have been. I mean, you know, because you got to lead by example. He didn't just say it. He went there. He did it. So he was there all throughout these incredible things that happened. But then this happened in the Bible, Judges chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. It says this, after Joshua sent the people away, each of the tribes left to take possession of the land allotted to them. This was in the promised land. And the Israelites served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the leaders who outlived him, those who had seen all the great things God had done for Israel. Verse 8 says, Joshua, the servant of the Lord, then died at the age of 110. Verse 9, they buried him in the land he'd been allocated in this place in the hill country of Ephraim. But then verse 10 says this, after that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord, nor remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. What a sad verse that is. Here was a generation of people who didn't acknowledge God and didn't remember what he'd done. They didn't continue pressing forward from what the previous generation had won for them. They stopped giving in praise and worship to God. Instead of taking what they've been given and giving their life to increase and to grow for the next generation, they stopped and they fell away from God. They missed all that God had for them. They failed to inherit. They failed to possess and to build all that God had for their generation. What a terrible, tragic story this is. You see, one generation can go as far as they possibly can, win as many victories as possible and give and sacrifice. But if the next generation does not take up that mantle and run forward from that point, we can miss what God has for us. You see, when one generation honors the previous generation, when we honor, we put ourselves in a position to receive what they've won for us. Pastor Russell has written an incredible book about this, The Honor Key. You can't receive from what you don't honor. So once, see, I had this thought. Pastor Russell was sharing around this thought last week about the generations. And as he was sharing, I had this thought. You know, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive. And so here we are. You cannot receive from something you don't honor. And so what we do is we honor what those who have gone before us have done. And when we honor that, we receive from it. But receiving is just the first step, because it's more blessed to give than receive. And so then we give of that. And so what we do is we give in honor and we receive in inheritance. Then once we receive in inheritance, we give the inheritance. And what do we receive? We receive legacy. So we give honor, we receive inheritance. We give inheritance, we receive legacy. See, there's power in our sacrifice. There is power in our giving. But there are things, and I know this, there are things in life that can hold us back from giving. There are things in life that can hold us back from sacrificing. Let's talk about that for a moment. One of the things that can hold us back in our giving, for some of us, it's fear. There can be a fear in life that can hold us back in giving. There can be a fear in life that can hold us back from sacrifice. But I love this. I've always thought this picture about. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1, 7, it says, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. That's good for you to know. If you ever feel fearful, you can know that's not God. I used to be fearful of heights. And I would go, and I would go, many of my friends, we would go and jump off the pier into the water in the ocean, and they would all be jumping off for like an hour, and I'd just be standing up there chilling. Do you want to jump off? No, I'm good. Just getting a suntan. You're burned. No, I'm good. Just enjoying the view. There's nothing to look at. Yeah, I'm good. And you know, when you're scared of something, right? People are trying to encourage you. It's like, no, come on. Come on, just jump off. We'll count you in. 3, 2, 1. I'm thinking to myself, numbers are not going to help me. Numbers are not the key to breakthrough for fear. Anyway, praise. I remember I was out at Phillip Island once and we were all jumping off the pier. It took me about 45 minutes to jump off. And finally, I jumped off the end of this pier. And it was amazing. The water was fresh. It was good fun. I jumped off this first time. I'm like, this is awesome. Run back up the top to the pier. I'm like, come on, let's jump off. Everyone's like, bro, we've been doing it for like an hour already. We're going to go back. See, the thing is, fear can rob and steal from you in life. In that moment, what did it rob and steal from me? A good time. I could feel fear standing on top of that pier that was only a couple of meters high. Now, there's a difference between fear and wisdom. If I was standing on top of a bridge that was 50 meters high, that's not fear. That's just straight up wisdom. I'm not jumping off that. But you know there's a difference between fear and a good idea. And you know when it's fear. And you know whenever there's fear in your heart, that's not God. Because the Bible says God has not given fear. But check this out. The rest of the verse says this. What has he given us? He's given us love and power and a sound mind. I hope you catch this morning. See, the thing is, you cannot outgive God. I love this concept. You cannot outgive God. So when you feel fear, you give your fear to God. You give him one lot of fear. What does he do? He gives you back three lots. One lot of love, one lot of power, and one lot of a sound mind. You see, when you give to God, you better get ready because he's about to outpour in your life. You may be giving him fear, but he's about to pour back a blessing that you can't contain. Full of love, full of power, full of a sound mind. It's time some of us stop allowing fear to hold us back in our life. Fear's only out to rob from you and steal from you. And fear can hold you back from giving. It can hold you back from sacrifice. It's time for that to come to an end. No more fear. What else holds us back from giving? Sometimes a lack of resource, or could I say this, an apparent lack of resource. Because what did the Bible say? I shared this at the beginning. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. Sometimes we feel like, I just don't have energy to give. I don't have the emotion to give. I don't have the finances to give. I don't have the resource to give. I don't have the heart to give. But the thing is, when we step out and give anyway, I'm not talking about being unwise. I'm not talking about going into debt. That's not giving. That's giving the bank's money. I'm talking about giving out of what we do have. When we give, our world gets larger. I was just on holiday with my wife. And we were overseas in Egypt. Man, that is a different country. There's as many people in that one, in the capital city of Egypt as there are in our entire nation. There's just people everywhere. Pollution everywhere. Sand everywhere. And so much sand. It's so dirty. And but there we were. And we'd organized with this tour guide to plan the, you know, 2 days worth of going and seeing the sights. And he was a brilliant tour guide. But I read up some things about Egypt, and there are some people there that will try and scam you here and there. And so I double checked with him before we went. And I said, by the way, do I need to be prepared to tip? And he goes, no. You pay me the one fee. He goes, I'll be your guide. I'll go ahead and do the tipping for you to make sure no one's ripping you off. So you don't need to tip. And so there we were, and we got there on the first day, and we went to all these sites, and I was blown away. Every single place we went, he'd pull a note out of his pocket and tip. And I mean, I'm talking tipping people who weren't doing anything for us. He'd just walk past people, he'd just tip them. They were sitting in a chair, he'd tip them. They were standing there, he'd tip them. They were walking past, here, have some money. And everywhere we went, he'd just be tipping people. And I kind of, about halfway through that, I started getting jealous. Because the thing is, in Australia, right? Number one, we don't tip in Australia. There's part of that that I really like. You know, when you go to the shop, you see the price of something, that's the price. Full stop. You go to America, you try and buy something, you think you're getting a good deal, like a sweet pair of jeans or a jacket for $20. You're like, what a deal. You take it up to the counter, they add this tax, and then they add the state tax, and then they add some other kind of tax, and then some other fee, and then you put it all through, and then they want a tip as well. And there you are, $4,000 later, you're like, not such a good deal. You go to Australia, it's $20. $20 is what it is. But so being an Australian, I just don't carry cash anywhere. Number one, we don't tip. But number two, why carry cash when you can just tap and go everywhere? What a dream. So I was not equipped. I just had my card on me. I couldn't tip anyone. About halfway through the day, I started getting jealous. Man, this guy's tipping everybody. Now, I didn't have to tip. But I remember after that first day of going out with him, I went to the ATM especially to pull cash out. I'm like, I'm not going to be outdone by this guy. I want to be ready to tip. And so he starts tipping, I start tipping. He starts tipping, I'm going to tip as well. We went for a boat cruise on the Nile, just like a little one, right, for an hour. And it was just, I was trying to work out, what do you call a boat driver? Last night while I was preaching, we figured captain is the best word, right? So it was like four of us on this tiny little ship. I didn't think captain was appropriate, but let's just go with captain. So he tips the boat captain, not a problem. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to tip him too. And then he gets off the boat. He tips all of the other boat captains that are sitting there. They did nothing. Like, what are you tipping them for? But all of a sudden, generosity is contagious. When you're around a generous person, it's just contagious. I'm like, I want to get in on this. And so I started tipping people. I started giving to people. What's amazing about it, not just is generosity contagious, but I walked away feeling blessed. Now that makes no sense because I'd given all my money away. But there's something about giving that when you give, your world gets larger. When you give, you're blessed by it. The Bible says, I don't know why, but it just is. It's more blessed to give than receive. And so there I was after a day of giving, I just felt on top of the world. I felt like the nicest person in Egypt. Yeah, I'm a giver. There's something about giving that's powerful. Pastor Leone just shared around the offering. I hope you caught it. There's things that can hold us back in our giving. I just shared fear can hold us back. Apparent lack of resource can hold us back. What else? Giants that stand in our way, that try and shout us and mock us, that can intimidate us. It's like you may have a giant of a situation in your world right now. You may have a house that you're trying to sell that's not selling. You may have a house that you own that you can't tenant. You may have a bill that's come in that you don't know what to do with. There are giants to come up in our life sometimes, but what is our response to a giant? Are we going to shrink away from it? Are we going to shy away from it? Or are we going to say, no, I know my God is my provider. I know he provided for me then. He was good to me then. He's going to be good to me forever. I'm going to trust that he's got me. Well, I hope you're enjoying the message so far. You know, giving, generosity, it really is contagious. The Bible says that the world of the generous gets larger and larger. When we give, when we're generous, it does something to the atmosphere around us. Let me encourage you, come on, check out the rest of this message. I believe it's gonna bless you. You see, the truth is, friend Nikki, you can come. God builds through giving. God builds sacrificially. Where am I? I just kept preaching. I don't know where I am in my notes. And the powerful thing about giving is you cannot outgive God. You give God fear. I shared this. He gives you love, power, and a sound mind. But check this. You give him praise, he pervades your praise with his presence. You give him worship, he begins to move in your life like only he can. You give him of your resource, he gives back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You give of your tithe, he opens up the windows of heaven in your life. You see, there's power in our giving. And God builds in our giving. God builds through our giving. And he wants to build your life. He does. But you know, he also wants to build his house. His house. Through giving, through sacrifice. You see, we all sit here because someone prayed. We all sit here because someone was obedient. We all sit here because of the God encounters and the worship and the words of those who lead us and those who've gone before us. But see, to build what God has called us to build, and to possess what God has called us to possess, and to inherit and to experience all he has for us, we need to take what we've been given, and from where we've been led to, we need to give in prayer. We need to sacrifice in praise. We need to give in faith. We need to sacrifice in finance. We need to give in obedience. We need to sacrifice in time. You see, there's powerful, powerful thing about sacrifices. In the Old Testament, the way they would sacrifice, they would sacrifice an animal in the temple all the time. They would sacrifice an animal every day. And you would always know when the sacrifice was being given. Because the way they would give it is they would sacrifice the animal and then they put it upon the altar to be burnt. What is that? It's Old Testament barbecue. And so what would happen in the temple is an aroma would fill the temple. So whenever a sacrifice was being given, an aroma would change the whole atmosphere. How fitting. I thought this just before I got on stage last night. It's Mother's Day today. We gave a candle to all of our mothers that have sacrificed and given so much. Candle changes the aroma. Our sacrifice changes the aroma. When we are givers, when we are sacrificial, it changes the aroma. It changes the atmosphere. And you see, God wants to build. God wants to take us further. I'm so thankful for the people who lead us. I'm so thankful for Pastor Russell and Sam. I'm so thankful for how far they've led us. And by the way, nothing's changing there. Don't get the wrong idea. They're still leading us. But I'm just not satisfied to sit here and go, well, God, we've got a pretty good church. We've got 5 campuses here. We've got cities around the world. We're doing some good things. Let's just settle here. Let's just set up camp and let's just enjoy where we've been led to. No. I want to keep giving. I want to keep sacrificing. I want to keep going with what God has given us and say, God, just how far could you take us? I want to give until I've given all I can. I want to sacrifice until I've sacrificed all I can and say, God, what could you do with our church? How far could you build us? And once I've given all I'm called to give in the position I'm called to be in, how good it will be to hand on the baton and say, okay, now it's your turn. I'm going to step into the next position, but now it's your turn. See, God, we need, for what God has called us to do in this year of double portion, we need more servants. We need more leaders. We need more car park attendants and guest services. We need more givers. We need more sacrifices. We need more. That's the truth. But what a great encouragement that God builds sacrificially. When we give, we don't have less. We actually have more. And in this room this morning, I just want to invite us all over this room, maybe let's stand to our feet. Because I believe the Holy Spirit's here and He's been speaking to people this morning. Maybe you're here and as I was speaking, you got to understand, we're not taking an offering at the end of today's service. We've already taken the offering. But I did want to stir and encourage us about our entire life. Finances are a part of our life, a part, not all of it, but they're a part of it. But I believe that in this place, as I was sharing, the Holy Spirit was here. And He was saying, hey, you have allowed fear to hold you back from giving. You have allowed a giant in your life to hold you back from sacrifice. You have allowed things in your life to stop you being the giver He's called you to be. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to move in your situation today. Set people free of fear. Set people free of doubt. He wants to change your life in this place this morning. But also there's those of us here, and you could be in both categories, by the way. But you know Holy Spirit speaking to you, that you want your world to be larger, that you want God to build your world. Of course, that means building this house, but He wants to build your world. And you say, God, this morning, I want to go to a new level. I want to go further. I want to go higher in my giving, in my sacrificing. Yes, I want my world to be bigger. And you want in faith to step out this morning from where you find yourself and say, God, make me larger. God, speak to me this morning. So if you fit any one of those two categories this morning, I believe the presence of God is here this morning. And come on, I want to encourage you, would you step out of your seat? Because what happens, and fill the front, what happens when we do that is we make a declaration and say, God, I'm stepping out from the situation I found myself in, and I'm stepping into what You're calling me to live in. And so this morning, come on, if that's you, if you know God speaking to you, would you come? Thanks for joining us today. I pray that this message blessed you. Let me encourage you, come and say g'day to us and follow us on our social media platforms at Planet Shakers on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the social media platforms. And also check out everything Planet Shakers related on our website, planetshakers.com. We pray that God is moving in your life. We'll see you very soon.